Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello everyone, it's the Red Men Originals podcast. I have just been told one of the most disgusting, skin-crawling, bollock-churning stories.
And it wasn't me.
It wasn't
for
you.
For a change.
It wasn't me.
Outside of Red Men Uncensored. Oh, God.
I wonder where you're going when you said skin-crawling then. I thought we were going on a particularly dodgy path with that. But...
Oh, God. Wow. I don't really even... Wow. We've got to talk about Liverpool. What's the worst damage you've ever done to your sexual organ? Let us know in the comments. yes, we're going to be talking about the extended international break that we're currently mired in. We're going to be talking about David Ornstein ruining all of it by dropping an article this morning on The Athletic about Jude Bellingham. We are also going to be getting all stuff off our chests around Liverpool in the agony round section. And yeah, bits and pieces, we'll look at where we're at in the top four race and all that good stuff as well. Or maybe we'll see how everyone feels. I am horrified, Dan. I can't function. It was fine. I can hear it wasn't even like I got told the story, but there was a theory behind how it came about. It was very graphic.
Mm-hmm. The story is more graphic, obviously.
Yeah.
I didn't have time. We were on the countdown. I'll tell you the full story later. Everyone got the full story.
You don't need to listen to it again.
It's as bad and worse than it seems.
Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about the Bellingham stuff in part two, but I beg the question of all of you. Name me a transfer saga from the past that absolutely did your head in. And gave you intense feelings of either boredom, anger, or annoyance. I'll start with Gaston Ramirez.
Did he play for Southampton?
He did play.
I loved him.
He was a decent. He had a decent career in the end. But he, Liverpool were heavily, heavily linked with him, and to the point where Jen Chang, God rest his soul, as a Liverpool employee, he's not dead, probably. Actually directly told us that Liverpool would definitely not be signing him and we could go public with that if we wanted to. The only bit of inside transfer information I've ever had in my entire career. And they were quite keen to shut that one down. But then I checked Twitter and it was just like, no, he's got a medical tomorrow. He's coming in tomorrow. And it was all... social media was awash with Gaston Ramirez talk, but I'd been told it wasn't true. But it was so vociferous with the claims that it was happening that I doubted... The truth around it. So yeah, that did my absolute fucking head in. Anyone else got a transfer saga?
Was it Konoplyanka?
Konoplyanka, the Ukrainian. He was the big one.
Severe. That one done my head in. And Willian, for some reason, it just done my head in that one as well. Yeah. Like, because that one was just like, that was the era where we were in the Europa League, weren't we, pretty much all the time, and Chelsea was stealing the players that we wanted.
Well, he got double gazumped there, didn't he? Because Spurs gazumped us. And then Chelsea gazumped Spurs on it, which at least made me feel a little bit better about it. Like, but it told you that we were below Spurs in a transfer pecking order, which was bad.
The only thing that keeps me going on that is I still see him playing. Like, I get him sent off at the weekend and I think, good, prick. I'm happy you got sent off, to be honest with you, because you should have come to us.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyone else?
Slightly different one was that Nabil Fekir one, because obviously we're linked with him forevermore. And then it pretty much happened, didn't it? Obviously, like, there was a picture which is somewhere in Ethan now of him, like, doing his medical stuff and his media stuff and then disappeared.
All boxed, all his media stuff, all boxed, all agreed, all very much a Liverpool player. And then...
Is that the last time we did a medical on someone that we were signing?
Calvin Ramsey would have suggested I be
here. We can't do that.
Let's just stop all that medical work.
We can't do that again because it's too embarrassing.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll just sign them, whether they're healthy or not.
It actually explains a lot, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. It's really good, yeah. Can't have any. Right, that was the mission. When we got through that, no more Nabil Fakir incidents. Okay, so what you want to do is make
sure can't get COVID if you don't test for it.
Well, do you want to do proper due diligence? No, I want us to stop doing medicals on footballers that we want, because it was really embarrassing all season long. The YouTube comments were filled with why didn't we sign Fakir? Why didn't we sign Fakir?
Yeah, that was a good example.
There was one a couple of years ago, Sal from Atletico Madrid, and he went to Chelsea in the end. He was absolutely. Shite.
Crap,
so thank God for that. But that went on for several months and it sounded like he was really close and then absolutely not.
Most of these players though, they end up being rubbish.
Yeah.
Most of them do, the ones that we've been linked with and stuff. Now I don't think Bellingham's in the same boat, by the way. But like that is the one thing that, you know, Willian had a good career, so maybe he's the difference maker there. But
Fakir's all right at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah, but he was no.
His knee problems still haunting, though.
He was never going to be what Liverpool needed him to be. No.
Yeah. And he had loads of problems, like I say, so he was actually a wise move.
Is he still at Betis?
I think he's moved on from Betis now. Yeah, I'm sure he's moved on. But he's had a decent career, you are right.
But he never scaled the heights ultimately. And that is quite a common theme. That good shout to hear from Toby Lerone. We'd love
every week. Love that. He knows I love that as well.
Alex Teixeira.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Was that random? Liverpool, one of the random Liverpool accounts that got an interview with him, didn't they? On like pitch side in a pre-season game or a mid-season game or something, and it was all looked like it was all coming all done and dusty. He ended up in China, didn't he?
Yeah,
funny.
He played the same team as Hulk or something like that at the time.
Might well have done. Yeah, that sounds like excellent. That could be a fact.
Go ahead.
Could be. Mbappe 2020, there's a good chance as well. Mbappe, to Sean Silver.
I remember we thought forget about that one.
I didn't believe in that one though.
Did you not?
No. The others I actually thought potential.
Yeah. What a shame.
I don't know, it's a bit like Father Christmas for me. I always want to believe.
Yeah.
Like, I always want to believe we're in for Mbappe and everything else. So when a journalist comes out and says we're not in for them, Ornstein, I get really angry.
We'll talk more about Bellingham in part two, but let's just talk about where we're at right now. Obviously, I don't really want to go through the Madrid game again. We did that on Thursday Night Pint last week, which is fine. The show was great. Talking about Real Madrid and losing to Real Madrid was not. It does kind of feel... I spoke to my dad yesterday about this and how it feels weirdly like the end of the season. Like, you know, you've got no more trophies to play for now. There's just like that incredibly, incredibly shit, let's try and get in the top four thing to do, which I mean, look, can lead to an exciting end of the season, as we know from a couple of years ago. But I said to my dad, it feels like the end of the season. So well, normally because our seasons end with us getting beat by Real Madrid, so maybe that's maybe that's where we're at. It is a weird lull, isn't it? You know, I'm kind of happy to not watch Liverpool for a bit, but also I'm not. There's such a huge thing hanging on the horizon of the games when we return and all that stuff.
Yeah, there is, yeah. But it's made especially weird, like you say, by the fact that we now have nothing left to play for, really, in terms of tangible trophies. And we're just not used to that. Always Liverpool fans over the past few seasons, we're used to this being the time of the year, actually, whereby it's time to get more excited. It's time to really rev up and we go again. Instead, we've got to get ourselves up for this top four push. And it is a mess, that top four push. Like, our season's been a disaster. It just shows you how bad the teams are in and around us that we're even in with a shout of this anymore, because we've been horrendous by our own standards and yet we could still make the top four. It's laughable, really. But yeah, I think you're right. It does feel like... I think we all needed this break. I think we all did. I think the players probably did as well. Those that aren't going international duty especially will have a nice little break from it. But yeah, I agree. I think it does feel like the end of the season. And like I say, it's just because we've got nothing really left to go and get.
Do you know what's pissed me off the most about this massive break is that our game got cancelled or postponed because Fulham was still in the cup. Fulham.
Yeah.
That's what annoyed me more than anything. I'm like, how disrespectful of Fulham to get our game postponed because they're still in the cup and we're not.
Used to be the other way around, didn't
it? Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a slight pricks. Future world.
I'm glad they're out.
Where Mitrovic gets like a 10-game ban for pushing the referee and doesn't play against us, which would help immeasurably. It's an odd one. I'm interested to get people's thoughts on what we sort of think the mission is, or what the approach is, or what's the messaging at the AXA from Klopp and Pep? Chloe, what do you reckon in this? Because we've done we had the World Cup break, and then, you know, there's been opportunities where they've sent the players, let players go and have a break, they've let them go and have some family time, they've had, like, let them go and have a party, they've let them do a variety of things. There's the whole, well, you just run them, but we can't run them because they're fucked and they're falling apart at every given twist and turn. Let's just say you're the manager in this one. What are you? What you're gathering them all together at some point, whether it's today or next week. What are you doing? What are you saying?
I'm gonna put every disastrous loss on loop for them and just leave the room and let them watch it. 10 hours, 15 hours.
You've got
straight.
Enough time for that. I know it's a big international break, but
10-15 hours at least straight. Have a bit of that. If you fall asleep, you know, you probably, there's some consequences for it. Because every other tactic that we've done hasn't worked. We've always thought, like, the World Cup came when we were on this kind of bounce, but at the same time, you were like, thank God, get me away from the footy. Mm-hmm. And every single break, I felt like I couldn't wait for it to come. And I don't know the answer, because if they don't know the answer, then we're completely done for. But what I'd make them do is, instead of having a nice, relaxing time, I'd make them sit there and watch footage of them being absolutely crap at playing football. Make them look at themselves and then come back and show me that you want to get better than that.
You know what I'd do? I'd say to them, stop talking about signing players, like Virgil van Dijk and all that type of stuff. And like, no, lads, it's on you. Mm-hmm. You're the ones who are going to have to fix this, like, you know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. you know, I think us as fans, it's quite easy sometimes to look in the future and go, we'll be all right when this fella comes back and this fella comes back. We've been saying that for 6 months, right? Luis Diaz is going to come back, and guess what? He's going to look poor for the first few weeks until he gets his match fitness. We might not even see the best of Luis Diaz until next season anyway. Yeah. So stop thinking about the future. Stop thinking about when this player comes back and this player comes back, and if we get signings in the summer, sort the fucking problems out on the pitch. Be better. You're supposed to be better. You are better than what you've given us over the course of the last 6 months. Just go out there and prove it, because now you're playing for your places next season. Because I'm looking at that going, right, well, the news about Ornstein, we'll come to it later and stuff. I'm like, maybe we can't afford Bellingham because we've got loads of problems. Like, if they don't step up, they've got to move on.
Yeah.
Because they're not good enough.
Yeah. I wonder whether there's just this idea where you take a bit of a Hail Mary on some of the fringe lads, and I'm doubling down on them, and this could be just as equally a foolish thing as not, but maybe not Naby, because Naby Keïta, for example, is just someone who you can't rely on, even if he wants to be relied upon. But I just, someone like Oxlade-Chamberlain, and I appreciate where we're at when I'm saying this, of somebody's got to step up, and it's, again, it's what can you say to lads who, and I said to you the week, the problem we've got is there's a few too many safe seats who don't need to fight for it. You know that they're going to be in the summer, they're going to get a refresh, they'll get the holiday, they'll come back and they'll still be Liverpool players, and hopefully they'll go again. But I wonder whether there's someone like, and I use Ox as a good example of this, because he's going, you know, and whether you can get him and say, what kind of club do you want to be playing for next season? What kind of level do you want to be playing at? Because you've got an opportunity here to absolutely put everything in for the final end of the season, maybe grab a goal or two, have an heroic moment, leave on a high, you know, leave as a respected Liverpool player, as opposed to the fact that it's all been kind of, his star's been on the waiting for us for years now, and it's, and our goodwill towards him has kind of dripped out as well. And whether you just say to him, go on, have you, he's like a one-on-one inspirational chat, of it, can you go and lead here? Because you've got a big personality, you've got a big character, you're well-liked, and it was stupid, he did fuck all in the Real Madrid game, but he did something that a lot of our other lads don't do. He moved quickly over 2 or 3 yards, which is something that's criminally lacking in a lot of areas. Something like that, genuinely.
It's not a bad shout, but I just don't know if you're going to get it. Using Oxlade-Chamberlain's example, I don't know if you're going to get it from him, because you mentioned the phrase safe seats there. I think he feels like he's got a bit of a safe seat in terms of he's probably going to get a certain type of move, and no matter what he does between now and the end of the season, it's going to be that. It's going to be a West Ham, a Southampton, pretty much whichever one of those stays up in the Premier League, I imagine he'll go to. And I think he knows that now. I think he knows where he's at in his career. It's akin to Adam Lallana when he moved on to Brighton. He felt like that was going to be that type type of move. As it turns out, Brighton have actually kicked on from there and they're actually really good. But I think Oxlade-Chamberlain's just going to get that move. I don't know if we've got a card to play that reflects that. Just on how we treat the break, I actually think they need a proper break. I think Fabinho already has gone on holiday with his wife and his newborn. I think they need a week off. Yeah. I think they need a week off, go and reset. It's almost like you don't want to mollycoddle them, but I think you've just got to. You've got to just kind of guide them through these next few weeks and months and just try and get whatever we can out of them. And treating them poorly isn't going to do it. And turning, unfortunately, turning to the likes of Keita, Oxlade-Chamberlain, even Curtis Jones just isn't going to happen either.
Yeah, my big thing would be, look, you learn more about players in times of adversity than in times when everything's going.
Fucking they must know every atom of these players at this point.
Well, this is the point, isn't it? I'd be like, look, I'll be honest with you, lads. If you don't perform between now and the end of the season, I don't want you here when we're playing well. Yeah. I want you to be able to get through the tough times. I want you to be able to go out and fight for absolutely everything in a Liverpool shirt. And that's not what we've seen this season so far. It's embarrassing, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, this is my thing on this, is that we've had good spells in every section of the season, mm-hmm. but it's whatever that thing is where we just can't find consistency. And I just don't know what... I don't know... Genuinely, I've got no idea what that is. And it might just be, it's a little bit of a slice of luck maybe, but they've got to determine in the next 2 weeks effectively what their best 12 or 13 is and just double down on them for the rest of the season.
You know what has really annoyed me about this season? And maybe this is, the agony rant section.
You know what? Let's do it. Let's agony rant.
Oh, there we go. My agony rant is that even now, and bear in mind we're out of everything, even, you know, up until that Manchester United game, I always thought there was going to be not a turning point, but something that could get us up for the rest of the season. And it felt like it should have been Newcastle 2-1 when we won the last minute with Carvalho. There's been other times, it was the three back-to-back before the World Cup. It was then Aston Villa after the World Cup.
Yeah.
And you thought, we can bounce, we can use it. It was then Manchester United 7-0. And I do not know what is up mentally with those players, but how you cannot ride a wave and take the confidence and take the... And look, your confidence might be shot, but beating your rivals 7-0 should keep you going for the rest of the season.
The problem we had is that wave went straight onto the fucking Madrid's beach, didn't it?
Well, yeah.
Fucking twat.
It did. But I just feel like every single time you felt like, oh, this could be a moment to turn the season or to get us going and get us going on a win streak of some sort or just get some consistency. And instead, it's just like, look like a group of lads who felt sorry for themselves. They've got decent wins here and there, but the next game, that's all forgotten about and they're a shell of themselves again. And I don't understand how that's happened.
Yeah, no, it is.
It's like there's a great reset every single game, isn't there? Yeah. Confidence starts at zero every game.
Yeah,
and absolutely. You can see then it goes down, you score and it goes up and then it starts at zero again. There's no rolling over.
No, you're dead, right?
Yeah, genuinely. And again, it's one of those things, apparently they've already had the big clear the air talk a couple of weeks. This is my point. It's like, what? I don't even know what that is, unless it's just one of those things where they kind of do they pull something from those recent results and go, right, look, they weren't the results we wanted, but here's the things that you did well. Just double down on the things that we did well in those games and trust that a little bit more will come with it. Because I agree on the Diaz thing. It's like, if we're hoping that Luis Diaz is going to be the one to come and save our season, well, he's not.
Like Jota was.
Exactly. Well, that's the point. It's like, Jota's back. But he's there. You know, he can play football games for us. We've got enough lads who can stick the ball in the back of the net. We could just do with some of them
being midfielders.
Yeah, maybe.
And even with Diaz at the start of the season, we were still crap. He was a bright spark. He was the player who was really going after everything. Looked fresh compared to everyone else. Looked like he really wants to take the game by the scruff of the neck. But it's a football, it's a team game. One man, you can't just rely on one. You can rely on nine and maybe miss two out. And bringing him back isn't going to automatically make us... Like, even if he did come back on his greatest form, there's still enough lads who are making too many mistakes in our team that it just... He'd help us, but he wouldn't save us.
Yeah, no, exactly. Ask the question then of who needs this break the most? And I guess it can come from a number of angles in regard. And just to throw one in, because we just mentioned his name, Diogo Jota, normally I'd be like, I'd be really annoyed that he's going away on international duty because he always seems to get injured when he does. But another couple of games of football where he might actually just get his shooting boots back on, that's a potential win for us anymore.
I feel like Alisson Becker's about to knock someone out. So maybe him.
Question the attitude and all that.
Yeah, the fact that he's coming out and saying my attitude was perfect, but I don't know about the rest of them. That's quite worrying.
Yeah.
So I'm quite glad that he's going away because, you know, he saved us in that second leg. We could have been 3-4 down.
Yeah.
Go and take your break. I know you did make a mistake in the first leg, but which killed us, I will agree to that. It like murdered the entire tie. But he made up for it. But I feel like he's about to knock someone out.
Trent's probably another one, isn't it? I mean, him not getting into the international squad and Henderson being the only one in the England squad, that is a period of reflection for Trent Alexander-Arnold, isn't it? Yeah. Especially with the noise that's been around him since the Real Madrid game, the Jamie Carragher stuff and everything else that's going on. He's got to go back to the drawing board in terms of his game, hasn't he, and work out how he is going to affect football matches in a positive manner and not the negative manner it's being perceived as.
Yeah. Any more?
No, I don't think so. Just as a shout.
I mean, any midfielder.
Yeah,
any James midfielder. Honestly, it's important that they get their heads screwed on, to be honest with you, and start to work out how they're going to do it. I mean, if Jürgen's not planning now how the midfield is going to set up when we come back, then he's doing something wrong himself.
The other one is Nunes injured. He'd be absolutely useless for us right now if we were playing games because he's injured. So get him recovered, please.
Getting Thiago closer as well is probably another big part of this. Yeah.
So just everyone on the football pitch needs a break.
If we could get Thiago back by the time the international break's over, you know, again, he's not going to solve all the problems, but it would be, that's the kind of lift you're looking for, I think, because he's got 10 games in him before his next injury. So that might be enough to see him until the end of the, more or less see him to the end of the season, which would be nice.
Well, if it's going down to the last game, I'm going to be gutted that he's not going to be there.
Yeah.
Would you save him for two at the start of this?
I don't think it works like that.
It's a funny. I feel really sort of footing flat about it, to be honest. And obviously we'll do the Bellingham stuff
I'll be honest, right, over the last 13 years or whatever, the first 5 or 6 years of doing Redmond, the season was over at this point.
Boring
as fuck, but you know, when I'm not used to it now. This is the best part of the season, and that's why I think I'm so down, is that this is where everything ramps up, this is where the fun stuff happens, like Champions League. If you remember at the start of every season, you think, oh, the Champions League back for the group games. Group games are shit. It's not the group games that you get up for. It's the you know, knockout footy side of things, and we're out of that now. And you know, the cup games are great when you get into semi-finals and stuff like that, and the league when you're chasing something. And that, as much as you hate going through that, oh, City win, we win, City win, we win, it's something to live for, isn't it? Like, it's absolutely
You'd
superb.
You'd rather that, wouldn't you?
Than this now, where you go, are Tottenham going to drop points? Are frigging Brighton going to drop points? I mean, it's pathetic.
The other thing is that, like, back then, we had Jonjo Shelvey in the midfield with Jay Spear and with players who weren't good enough to win a title. This is the greatest Liverpool side I've ever seen, I will probably ever see, and I'm calculating that from the last 3-4 seasons. To see us end up where we are after nearly winning everything, the drop-off, I think that's what gets me the most. The drop-off, I still cannot fathom how that's possibly happened. That big.
I think part of the problem, to be honest, is we keep thinking it's the greatest Liverpool side that's ever been. It's not. It's not that side anymore.
No,
it hasn't been that side. You know, Konate was nowhere near that side. You know, Nunes and, you know, those types of players, they weren't part of that. The midfield wasn't that. Our best Liverpool side won the league. And it's not that side anymore.
Yeah.
It's an ageing crew of players who were in there and new lads. It's not that size. We've got to think about it like that.
Yeah, it's true, innit? It goes back to the whole crappening theory, doesn't it? As you don't notice it. And look, the good thing about it is that you look at some of the lads that we have got, and there's talent there. You know, I'm pleased with Gakpo. I'm pleased with how he settled. I understand him as a footballer. In fact, I'd get your takes on it, Chris, because I know you were the sort of dissenting voice around it at the time. Do you feel more confident in what he's bringing to the team now?
Gakpo?
Yeah,
absolutely. I think he's been bosh. Yeah, I think same. It's been dead difficult for someone like that to come in and play a new position in the false nine and stuff. And if that's what Jürgen wants, he wants to go back to that false nine rather than, I think, when we signed Nunes, I think the plan was to play Nunes centre forward, and I think he's changed his mind. Mm-hmm. I think he's seen what Nunes can do out on the left. Maybe he's thinking about the future with Diaz potentially playing right-hand side if Mo were to leave or whatever in the future, or just play him across the front line, whatever. Gakpo's brilliant because he's got all the attributes of a Bobby Firmino. And, you know, it's something that gives us options, doesn't he? And so for me, Gakpo's been brilliant in a very, very difficult team to come into.
Mm. Yeah, because I look at it and I look at what they're trying to build. And as a Gakpo looks like the guy who's going to potentially facilitate it, he's going to knit it together, but he's going to do it with an extra foot on his shoulders. You know, that Bobby Firmino doesn't have. He's more of a physical presence.
Yeah. More pace as well.
And more pace as well, absolutely. I look at Darwin Nunes, who I agree. I said this, I think in the summer, I think we bought him to get us through this season with his goals, the way the City have done with Haaland, in so much as, you know, I don't think we don't think this side was ready to be the next all singing, all dancing, 95 plus point Jürgen Klopp team. But while we were waiting for other things to drop in, well, what we'll do is we'll get some attackers in and we'll try and score our way through the problems. And when it didn't quite happen like that, we've obviously changed, and injuries, we've had to change tact a little bit. But I look at what he brings, the pace, the power, the aggression. Diaz has got exactly the same thing as well. Mm-hmm. And then you look at, maybe we've touched a bit lucky, but he was obviously recruited. You know, Bacetic looks like he looks like a real deal, doesn't he? Yeah. I've seen more from Harvey Elliott, still not quite got the consistency, and there's still question marks over how he fits into this side.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But I can't, I've no doubt that he's a fantastic, fantastic talent. The recruitment of Konate is brilliant. You know, he's now our second best centre half. Still got the best goalie going. Some question marks over a other couple of bits and pieces, but I can see what we're trying to build towards. But I agree, it's hard to fathom out that we are in that change between what was so good
if you think of it like players or sides of the field. Andy Robertson spoke about this week, didn't he? He spoke about Sadio Mane. Yeah. Like, that's just completely different. So you take Mane out and it changes the entire left-hand side of the field. You put a player like Thiago in for someone like Wijnaldum, it changes the dynamic on that left-hand side. You put Harvey Elliott in with Trent Alexander-Arnold and Mo Salah, your three attacking players, mm-hmm. pretty much from each level, all on the same side of the field, and you wonder why you're not quite as tight over on that side of the field. You know, there are evolutions that are happening through this side, even with the players that are there. You know, Robertson has to play. I'll be honest, I haven't seen really Robbo look really good with Diaz. I always thought he looked better with Darwin Nunes than he has done with Luis Diaz. Now, that might change over time, but there's a relationship that needs working on. You can only work on that on the football field. So all this is happening while Fabinho's dipped massively, while Virgil van Dijk hasn't been at the same level, while you've had all the injury problems and everything else. I can see what we're doing for the future, and I'm excited for the future, but there are a couple of key positions that we need to recruit for, I think, the whole thing to make sense.
There's an argument to say on that, though. Robbo hasn't really clicked with Nunes in the same way he did with Mane either. I think he's actually got a better relationship with Gakpo I think we've seen that in the early stages. We're not quite sure where Gakpo's going to fit in exclusively yet. I do think it will be that false nine. But I think part of the problem is we don't really know what... You said there, Chris, you might go back to that 4-3-3 with a false nine. I think there's still scope for a 4-2-3-1 in that as well. So we're not exactly nailed on. But on the overall point, the overarching point, I am positive. And I think we have addressed some of the areas, the attacking side of it. The Konate signings obviously kind of fix a defensive problem. You might need one more in there very soon as well. I think obviously the midfield is obviously the glaring issue in all of this. Pochettic takes a little bit of the heat away from that because he has been a shining light this season. But just on your point on Elliot, it's a fascinating one because I agree. I really like Harvey Elliott. I'm not quite sure where he fits yet. But he's played every game. Klopp clearly really likes him and knows how he fits.
Does anyone, and I might be alone in this and take the flak for as per, whatever. Does anyone really think Liverpool can win the league with a 19-year-old Bajcetic and a 20-year-old Harvey Elliott running the midfield next season?
No.
Right. Okay, so that's mad because that's where we need to be aiming at because Bajcetic, really good player, but he's got to be a squad player for us probably.
100%.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's something that it feels like with this news around today that, you know, maybe they're putting their eggs in the basket and they've already got the eggs in the fucking basket. They've had them all year and it's like, that's frustrating me, man. It's like so blindingly obvious where Liverpool need that experience and it feels like, even if you sell Sam Bellingham, right, and for sure, I don't know how you'd make this work, but a Bellingham by Chechich, Harvey Elliott midfield with an average age of 19 years old or something, that's crazy.
You've still got that huge gap then, haven't you, between those lads and then your injury-prone 30-year-old. You can't have that. You need to fill that gap with some class and some quality and some experience.
Yeah, definitely. But that's it goes back to the point of it's just that limbo period of there's so much more pressure on everything at the moment because there's internal pressure from the fans, there's external pressure from fans of other teams and the pundits who are all relishing Liverpool not being at the best, having had to, again, we said this on Thursday Night Pint, but like Rio Ferdinand and Gary Neville, great examples of it, who took that 7-0 defeat so personally, and now they're handing out their, oh, in my opinion, these players shouldn't be going anywhere near Liverpool. Like, you know, like it's like playing their, oh no, I'm an unbiased pundit card when they could not be crying more. Through, you know, the saying it through the bitter tears of a 7-0 defeat that shouldn't have had that level of impact on them, but it has done. But yeah, it's just mad to live in that world where you can't, there's no time for patience anymore because we've climbed the mountain and we've probably brought on a lot of people who thought it was going to be like this forever. I remember it not being like this, so I've always been quite moderate on all these things. It'll probably be all right. It probably, in our experience, it probably won't be. We'll probably just go back to being a sort of top four-ish side. But if we're going to have, is it going to be a chance of us getting back to on top again? These are the fellas you'd back to do it. And I don't mean the owners, I don't mean the players, I mean the manager and the people he's got around him because they're the real X factor in this that other people haven't got. You can't, there's not another Jurgen Klopp. There's not a club on the planet who still wouldn't want Jurgen Klopp in charge of their operation. Maybe Man City, but then, you know, ask again in a year or 18 months time on that one. We had some super chats. Why not? B0110 it says FSG out or FSG in. For the cheap seats, because I can't keep repeating myself on this stuff. I'll say this. It goes back to my point earlier. I'm a very moderate person when it comes to opinions around football and stuff. I do have really strongly held opinions on stuff, but when it comes to Liverpool, because I've got no choice and I've never had a choice and I've supported this football club now for fucking 34 years or whatever, I tend to just, there's some stuff you kind of have to just let move on. And the problem with the FSG stuff is I just don't think it's a binary thing. There's just too many moving bits to it, and I know it's a nice simplification. We'd love it to be, I'd love it to be a simple thing. I'd love them to be so terrible that it almost gave us no choice but to pick up the pitchforks and the placards and march on Boston and force them out the club by hook or by crook or whatever. I just don't think it's so much that they're doing such a great job that I would be standing with the pitchfork and protecting Fenway Park with my life. You know, it's not that. The biggest issue for me where we have with FSG is that nothing ever gets solved instantly. You've always got to wait 6 months or 12 months because whenever we've been in bad situations, they've not whether it's them or the people they've put in place at the club, which is probably the more accurate way of looking at it, they eventually get it right and then we come good again. And that's quite a frustrating thing. So I've seen a lot of this chat of like, well, what if they don't get Jude Bellingham? Does that mean you're now, they've got to go? And it's like, well, honestly, I wish it was that dramatic. But if they went out and signed three players instead and those three players turned us back into a team that challenges for the title next season, then who gives a fuck? Liverpool are back to where we want to be. And that's my overriding, very long-winded take on it. Mm. But anyone else?
Mine's quite simple. I've been saying it for a couple of months. So I think FSG have probably done as good as they possibly can at Liverpool. And I think there's a law of diminishing returns with FSG in the way that they're managing Liverpool Football Club. If you want Liverpool, like I want Liverpool, to compete at the very top for the next 10 to 15 years, then I think Liverpool are going to need new owners.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I agree. And I'm not... Look, FSG have got some big things wrong and they've had to overturn a lot of them. They've got some really good things right. I mean, it meant, you know, that it means more. It did mean more because we didn't go and spend 300 million and just win a Champions League or a league. It meant something because we used it with a guy at left back who was 8 mil. We went and sold our biggest asset in Coutinho and brought in Virgil van Dijk, where at the beginning everyone thought we'd paid too much, became unbelievable. Alisson Becker, who's unbelievable for us, and we won the Premier League and the Champions League. And everyone looked at us as, that's how you run a football club. That's how they looked at us at one stage. But now it's came to a stage where you can't use that same model and still win everything. And
I think you can, by the way, sorry to interrupt. I don't think you can sustain it for as long as what we need to. Yeah.
I don't think it can be done from this position.
No, exactly. I think you're right.
You have to sell someone like Virgil.
Somebody big has to be sold, or they have to go and pump a ton into the squad so that you can go back to that model again.
Yeah.
The net result is kind of the same, and that's where my tipping point. Well, that will come because Liverpool do need to go and have a net positive number of footballers come into the side because there's too many lads leaving on a free. You need to replace them on the books.
Yeah.
You need to put some value back into your squad so that if you're going to be sell to buy, you've got to have players who can grow, get to a level and be moved on. We've got nothing. We've got a bunch of young lads who haven't reached the peak yet and a bunch of old lads who don't hold the value anymore. Yeah. And that's where it's fallen down.
Yeah, I didn't mind the sell to buy model sort of to begin with because we were coming from such a low ebb in many senses.
And when Liverpool were selling players.
And when we were selling players, and it was working successfully, we could see where we were going with it, like you say. But I think at some point I was always going to run its course because at some point you want to be at the top table and staying there. You don't want to be selling your best players anymore. You want to be just competing day to day with those teams. Yeah. My problem is, and it's kind of what you two guys have said, is that I think they've taken us as far as they can in that sense. You even need new owners or big investment, which is kind of what they're looking for, obviously, because to keep up with the Joneses, the goalposts have moved so substantially now at the top level of Premier League football that you've got Newcastle, Man City, potentially Manchester United joining that table as well. In terms
PSG,
of just Chelsea are there. Chelsea are there. They spend ridiculous amounts of money without that state ownership type model. So I do think if we are going to continually compete with those teams, we are going to need to see a change.
I think if they don't sign Jude Bellingham, FSG are in trouble. I truly believe that in some way.
Only in a sense of the temperature might change even more. But, so I tend to agree with that because for me, I'm not going to say suddenly I'm FSG out. I'm with you, Paul. I'm kind of in the middle. However, a deal like Bellingham just makes too much sense. It's it's as close to a no risk as you're ever going to get. It really
Injuries aside.
Yeah,
but right now there's no proof of that either. He hasn't got an injury record.
Anyone can pick up an injury.
Let's pick up on the Bellingham stuff in part two. Yeah. We got a super chat before we take a break from SBR. It says, chasing Jude for 3 seasons and passing on multiple midfielders just to get him to not end up getting him due to finances makes no sense whatsoever. It's like so obvious he'll cost crazy money. I agree. And that's why I think we'll pick up on this further chat because then Chloe's point is spot on how that changes the mood because mood is everything. Yeah. Mood is what leads to people fighting and protesting and leads to becoming like an untenable thing at the football club. So we will talk about that when we return. But quick break from us with some cool stuff and then we're back chatting Ornstein, Bellingham and the rest of the season.
Hey, what's happening? We've got a boss prize for all of our Club Legend subscribers this month. It's been 30 years of Liverpool partnering with Carlsberg. They released the special edition Liverpool Carlsberg cans, and we have got sets of them to give away. 8, in fact. To be with a chance of winning them, all you've got to do is either upgrade your existing subscription from Club Captain to Club Legend, or head to redmenplus.com and join directly as a Club Legend there. Your name will be entered in, and yes, you could have these wonderful, wonderful beer cans in your personal Liverpool collection. Look great on a shelf or a mantelpiece or probably in your recycling bin. Get involved, redmenplus.com. Make sure that you're 18 plus. Only 18 plus people can win this, and obviously be responsible with your drinking as well. But yeah, look at them. Aren't they magnificent? And they could be yours.
Hey, it's the Bias Football Podcast.
We're the intro.
Right, grudging respect, Chris.
A little bit of a wild one this week. I'm going to give it for Danny Ings, because Danny Ings just decided to play for every team with claret and blue, like it's his colour. There was just nothing in the news this week.
Yeah, I think we can all agree. Danny Ings deciding 2 months ago to sign for West Ham.
I know you were ill for a bit, but how long was it? In a coma.
Gary Lineker, Ian Wright.
Steve Wilson, Alan Shearer.
Every single person on the BBC. I'm just Danny Ings.
You know what? That'll do. Danny Ings.
Clean sweep, baby!
Grudging respect of the week. Yeah. You know what? Actually, Chris Pajak wins the grudging respect of the week. If you can get Danny Ings that win, Jesus Christ.
The biggest story in the news has been all about footy and how much we respect every single person. But no, well then, Danny.
Yeah, we're fucking idiots. If you want to hear us talk about other football teams other than Liverpool, check out the Bias Football Podcast. If you go to redmenplus.com, we're going to be live streaming that about 15 minutes after the end of this. If you use the code BIASED, BIASED, on
BIASED.
Every time I've had to spell these codes, I have a panic. And I felt that, and then that's why I've had the panic. Because
all three of our faces would have given you that.
BIASED. Thanks, guys. I was also thinking the biased attack. I think biased isn't a word, I think, in this context. We've just shoehorned it into this. It's bias, but it's fine. Everyone knows what we mean. Biased.
That's biased. B-I-S.
B-E-E-S. You can get the show for just 50p if you do that. It is half. It is £2 a month for 3 months using the code BIASED. Anyway, check it out.
Yeah, I did the research on this last week. You can get the cheapest flat white you can get in Costa Coffee. Sorry, not Costa Coffee. A shit branded coffee shop on the high street in England is £3.30. And that will last you in around about 7 minutes if you're like me. So you can get all the content that we do for £2.50 a month. It is so much. It is so worth it. You just need to do it.
Redmenplus.com. Don't just take my word for it. Take Chris's word for it, because clearly Chris knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, I went on to shit branded coffee's website to find out the price for a flat white.
Yeah, if you want more proper opinions on Fenway Sports Group, then come and join us over on redmenplus.com. Because yeah, the comments don't like that I'm in the middle. They'd rather me just be really angry about stuff that I'm not dead angry about.
It's time, yeah.
Well, exactly. My opinions are subject to change at all any given moment or opportunity. I've had this before.
Just not on FSG.
No, forever. Not my paymasters, Chris.
Yeah. No, that's out.
Yeah.
He always wears a jacket because a Liverpool shirt says FSG and on the back.
FSG in.
It's a 10. They changed the O to an N.
Yeah, let's pick up on the Bellingham stuff, because obviously Ornstein said that it's now looking more likely that he'll go to Man City or Real Madrid. Liverpool don't really want to get stuck into like a bidding war effectively on this, and I mean these are just obvious things, and this is the issue, what the ownership have allowed to happen.
putting the club up for sale, but not putting it up for sale. And David Ornstein's the fault for this as well, by the way, who said it was up for sale when apparently it wasn't. Allowing things to run and letting all the speculation around it to run rampant. Like, if there was ever a world where they thought it was not possible, they could have... If they don't get Bellingham and it's down to a money issue, then we've fucked it, because you can miss out on targets. We've missed out on expensive footballers plenty of times. Mbappe didn't want to join us. You know, we've had Tchouaméni ultimately didn't want to join us. But when you've made it so unequivocally clear, and not like Liverpool have come out and said we're having Jude Bellingham, it's what's not said. And they've done such a good job of shutting down so many rumours in recent months and years. But to let this one run rampant, if Liverpool do miss out on Bellingham, I totally agree with your point, Chloe, that's going to create such a hostile atmosphere, and rightly so, because it's the hope that kills you and the excitement that builds around it.
It is absolutely ridiculous that we're even having this conversation, to be honest with you, because I could deal with Liverpool miss out on Jude Bellingham because he wants to go to Real Madrid because, you know, at some point they're going to knock us out of the European Cup anyway. I can deal with that. But to bow out before the race has even started, when you've spent 2 years not signing midfielders to buy Jude Bellingham, is just bloody stupid.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous. And if they're saying, well, oh, we don't want to get involved because it might cost us a lot of money. Really? Because I think we knew that Jude Bellingham was going to cost Liverpool quite a lot of money. Yeah. I think we've kind of always known that, to be honest with you. So now for you to go, oh, we probably just don't want to get into a bidding war with anybody. Shut the fuck up. Go and sign us two midfielders 2 years ago, because that's what we needed. If you're not going to just get to the start line of the race, it's just stupid. It's idiotic. We've wasted a year because Liverpool wanted to sign Jude Bellingham, and then they decide Jude Bellingham isn't going to come to us because we don't want to get into a bidding war. Fuck off.
Yeah.
It's unforgivable. It's unforgivable for me. And
that's
a
word.
I think on it, I think as well, like we were talking before about FSG and FSG out, I think a lot of sensible, balanced Liverpool fans, Bellingham could tip people one way or the other on this, because I think we need him immeasurably badly. There's absolutely no two ways about that. He secures your midfield for the next 10 years and potentially beyond. He is that good. He is that young. But what annoys me the most about it isn't even all sort of the speculation and that we want him. I think it's like the best kept secret in football that we want him. Everyone knows that. It's not even all that. It's the fact that I believe we would get him if we just entered that race and sort of matched what City were willing to do and match up. I think he comes to us. That's my biggest issue. I don't think if he has a choice of the three, all offering the same money, I think he chooses Liverpool. That's a personal opinion.
Yeah.
I just think he does, because I think everything's there for him. But we look like we might not even enter that race, and that is embarrassingly bad.
Yeah, I'm not sure Liverpool won't enter the race. I think, look, because again, I think we see these as linear things or as physical things sometimes, as though like there's a starting line and like on a date. It's like everyone who wants Jude Bellingham turn up on this particular time, on this particular track, on this particular day. Yeah, exactly. Like Le Mans. Jude Bellingham, you've got to run to your car to get into the Jude Bellingham race. You know, that's the kind of thing. And it's,
but you kind of do have to make a bid.
Yeah.
And this is what Ornstein's saying.
Yeah.
Liverpool might not make a bid because they don't want to get into a bid and war.
Yeah. But
so that kind of is a start point.
It is, but
so
also,
if Liverpool don't make the bid, we're fucking stupid.
But what I mean is, this is obviously been an ongoing thing for God knows how long, and that's the fucking stupid frustration of the whole thing. This is not briefing. I'd guess this is investigative journalism that's gotten this out of someone. You know, I can't imagine, because if this is a public Liverpool stance, David Ornstein wouldn't be the one breaking it. Every major Northwest journal would have this, and it'd all be coming out at the same time. It's him potentially reading more into it, but I don't know. It's mad. Yeah, it's mad that all that legwork's been done, and maybe this is. I mean, it could be that thing of they've had word that he just doesn't. He just wants to play for Man City, and this is now the beginning of the climb down. Of they're not entering a bid, because what's the point of entering a bid if you know you're not going to win? Because that's the only alternative. That's the only reason you don't bid for Jude Bellingham, is if you think it's a pointless fucking exercise.
Well, then what you're leaking out, or what the investigative journalism is saying, is wrong. Isn't it? Because he's saying that Liverpool don't want to get involved for a bidding war.
Yeah.
But that's not what they want. That's what you're surmising. That's not the case. you're saying they don't want to be beaten by somebody else, and that's fine.
Yeah.
I understand that, like, you know what I mean? But then the investigative journalism is wrong in that regard.
I'd rather you match City's bid and just pick City, because at least then I know from our perspective that we've tried. The thing with Jude Bellingham is...
But I'm saying that you've probably done that. That's what I'm saying about this being
could
the starting line.
Could you make it public then, please, for me to be aware of it?
Yeah, well, that's so stupid, isn't it? Because we're not going to do... No football clubs run like that. No one's going to tell you what the transfer
time,
business
I
is.
I need someone from Liverpool to come out and say, well, you know, we Tuchemani, we tried, you know...
But
with
they never came out and
fault.
Said that either. Yeah. You know, that was...
But we were all aware of it. So someone needs to get on the backlog and tell us. Because if they don't, once again, you're going to create this hostile atmosphere because you haven't told us.
Yeah.
So you might have done it correctly, but because you've not told us and just came out and said, look, we did try, but Erling Haaland was his best mate at Dortmund and Haaland's got him. That's the main reason. I'd be like, okay, well, at least we tried. It's not...
It's a fair point, because Liverpool, the people you mentioned in Northwest Journos, they'd be eager for them to sort of spread the word and say, you know what, we did try, you just chose them, because they're going to want to sort of quieten the mood music around it. Because they know what's going to happen if they end up just not going for Bellingham. So it's not a good...
That'll come, though, is that that's my point. Is that if that's what happens, we will see that happen.
I hope Paul team's wrong, by the way.
I genuinely do. My point on this is that's the thing, though, is that it's not a point where the bidding doesn't start at this point. Mm. The bidding's the final stage. Liverpool have been in this process for 2 years. They've been buttering up. They've been talking to the family. They've been having Henderson and Trent on the case of international duty. They've gotten to this point, and it's a speculation, but all of this is speculation to its own degree. Is that if you know he doesn't want to play for you, what's the point in putting a bid in?
It's an interesting.
Well,
one as
if
well.
You don't want the what Chloe's saying. If you don't want the fans to turn on you, then you need to make it.
The fans will turn. Yeah. The fans will
100% turn. But in reality, isn't that fucking stupid?
Why?
We're bidding for a player who doesn't want to join us. What's the fucking point? Is that true that we should be angry about Liverpool bidding
but
for a player who doesn't want to play for Liverpool?
I think it's also a fact that I think Jude Bellingham is the type who wants to play for a football club who will make an original song, who'll have a flag on the stand for him. He seems like a club who doesn't just want to go somewhere for the money. He seems like he wants to be adored, and that is the difference here. If it was a player who didn't care for that but cared for major honours and thought that City was, you know, they've got more money, they'll have more sustainability, they'll be able to, 10 years time, they're still going to be at the top. Liverpool might not be based on their model, everything has to go correctly, then that's okay. But Jude Bellingham, from everything we've been told in the past 2 years, from how much Jürgen Klopp is supposedly ringing him up and having these conversations, it seems like if it was up to him and there was no money involved, he'd gravitate towards Liverpool more.
By the way, up until yesterday, I was totally of the opinion that he's definitely signing for Liverpool.
But Paul, isn't Liverpool's ownership part of one of the reasons that he maybe doesn't want to sign for us?
Yeah. No idea.
Isn't it maybe one of the reasons that the way Liverpool are today and where we are in the league today might be one of the reasons that he doesn't? So actually, you might have started in complete pole position, but their management of the club and Klopp's management of the team and the players' performances over the last 6 months has led us to a position where he now doesn't want to sign for us.
Absolutely,
because there are better options out there.
Or the alternative is, putting all this to one side, is that is it just as likely that Liverpool have looked at the absolute fucking state of this season and gone, well, our idea of just putting all our eggs in one player's basket is stupid, because we're going to pay £120 million for Jude Bellingham and he's not going to fix the fucking problem when we need to spend...
That's where it comes back to what the owners can spend.
We know and what we don't know. And we don't. The honest fact on all this is what I'm saying is we actually don't know any of this. We're just fucking running with a bunch of hearsay and conjecture and Chinese whispers and these mythologies that's built up around random conversations none of us genuinely know. And we're getting really fucking riled up around a bunch of information that we simply don't have. And
that's football fandom.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, exactly. But But also, you know, every now and again, it's worth having a little fucking reality check and going, are we all happy being dead angry about something for effectively no reason?
What I'm saying, Paul, is what we've been told is that Liverpool don't want to enter the race because they think the price might get too high.
Yeah,
I'm not drawing any conclusions that aren't like you, where you're saying Liverpool have probably been told they're not going to get him. That's you're making that up. I'm reading David Ornstein's article word for word. He's saying Liverpool don't want to get into a bidding war.
You said
that's what I'm saying.
No, you said is it not about the ownership and where Liverpool are at? That's why you wouldn't want to be...
That's come off the back of what you've said. The article says Liverpool don't want to get into a bidding war. And I said at the beginning, that's fucking stupid. They should have known all along that Liverpool should be getting into a bidding war.
If the excuse is everything else is noise around it,
the article is the article.
If the excuse is that it's going to get too expensive, then you're right. It's absolutely fucking stupid. Mm. But to move the conversation forward on stuff and where we're at with it, this is my problem with the Bellingham stuff. I think he's a tremendous footballer, but we've made like our summer transfers and we've made the entire football club hinge on the signing or not signing of one footballer, which is fucking mental. Because I don't care whether Liverpool break their budget, and let's say they end up into 150 million, 200 million pounds for Jude Bellingham. Well, Liverpool don't need a 200 million pounds central midfielder. They don't. Liverpool need 2 to 3 central midfielders or whatever the right central midfielders at whatever price they cost. They probably need a centre half. They probably need a right back. Mm. They probably need, you know, maybe one or two. You know, if we were really going above and beyond,
how much are we allowed to spend?
Well, no, exactly.
Because you should be able to go and spend bank on him, and then also go and get someone else. Because listen, you bought us when we were what, 300?
Yeah.
And it's now 3 billion. You now wouldn't sell the club for 4 billion. You'd want around 5 to 6. This football club has made you so much money. If you want to go back to that state, that the way we work, where you have to sell and invest, you've now got to invest because you've got to a point where it doesn't work. So go out and buy Bellingham, and maybe 5 years down the line, an offer comes in from Real Madrid, and God forbid it ever did, where you just can't say no. Then they'd have to if you want to sustain the model. But you can also go and get those 30, 40 mil with a Bellingham. I don't see how we don't have enough money. I don't see how they don't have enough money. Pump some money back into the football club now, because we haven't had a midfielder for 3 years. This is one for 10 years' time if he doesn't get an ACL or any... And his body, he doesn't...
But that's
doesn't
the point.
Like
that's
that.
The point. You can't hinge the... I am playing devil's advocate on this, by the way, because again, I would spend anything on Jude Bellingham. He's the star. He changes the game, and he puts you at the top of the pecking order again in foot in terms of the transfer market. But look at the state of us. Like 150 million pounds on Jude Bellingham, because we're not good at football club that can then go and do 500 million in a transfer window. And again, maybe they need to change. And that I could ask a question in the comments from AZ Shaq, what would make me FSG out? This summer is the pivotal one, because it goes back to my point. Liverpool need to have a negative net spend this summer, and a significant one, because we need to get the squad back up to a level where you can, if they're sticking around, they need to invest in that squad to be able to get the model ticking back over again. Mm-hmm. Jude Bellingham doesn't get the model ticking back over again. It doesn't. That's the Galacticos model.
Yeah.
And that's the you've got to have a bottomless pit, multi billionaire owner plaything to live in that world. And maybe we all want that. And I'm not saying I don't, by the way, but if we've not got that, then that's the world where you don't think sometimes you forget
that the model that they changed to was spend the money on the player that's going to make the difference.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's what they did with Alisson and with Virgil van Dijk.
Well, the model changed to spend all the money on keeping the good players at the football club.
That was the next iteration of it. Mm. But they did go and sign the players for whatever money it costed. Mm. You know, broke the world record fee for a goalkeeper at the time. Premier League record, was it, for a centre-back, was it?
Yeah.
So, you know, they've spent the money in the past on the player that's going to make a difference, and they've recognised when one player or two player for big money will make a difference to the squad. This is that player that we'll see over the next few weeks, won't we, who Liverpool start to get linked to. Mm-hmm. Because the links right now seem to be try and buy someone on a free, try and buy someone for dead cheap.
Yeah.
And that all made sense when you pair Mount with Bellingham or with something. And if that all changes to £70 million players or whatever, then you can understand that the money was there and maybe that it was too much on Bellingham. And then I can take a step back and go, right, slightly less annoyed now. But if the rumours are still Mount and a lad on a free and just a big Jude Bellingham hole, then you think, what the hell are they doing? Like,
Evan Ndicka was
centre half in Frankfurt, yeah.
So, I mean, he'd come in and he'd obviously replace Matip. That's sound. The thing with, like you mentioned there, it seems like, I think you mentioned it earlier, it just seems like in 10 years' time we'll look back on it and go, I only spent 120 million on Jude Bellingham. He's lasted 10 years. He's won the lot. Like, if it ends up like that, 120 million's not, because you've got a generational footballer. This is a lad who, like Modric, like Cruz, Casemiro to an extent, I'd say in, Real Madrid's midfield, be there for 10-15 years and still be knocking it out the park like Modric does week in, week out. He is a generational footballer. We are the most attractive we've ever been, aside from obviously when we won the Champions League and the league a couple of years ago, but we're the most attractive we've been in ages, and the fact that we believe we can't come and spend cash on him because other people outbid us is absolutely unbelievable to me.
Just to say on that, you're right, and I think he's potential Ballon d'Or winner in years to come. He's that good. Like, but I think the problem is, and you are right, in terms of what you say about the spending money and whatever the budget is, but we've got ourselves into this mess. FSG's oversight and they're not investing has got us into this mess. So for me, normally I'm quite calm and balanced and what about what we spend and what we're willing to spend, but for me this summer has to be 300 million plus. It just has to be, because if not, we're not going to be anywhere near it next season. Unfortunately, we need a huge overhaul. We're losing so many players for free or next to free that this summer just has to be the big one. And for me, that includes Bellingham. It includes Bellingham plus one, two, three others. They can be a little bit cheaper. That's fine, but Bellingham just has got to be part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree that Liverpool have got huge work to do in the summer, and that's what it hinges on. What I would say is, though, again, the Bellingham's made, we've hyped Bellingham, and that's on us, that's on them not shutting things down. Yeah. That's on, clearly, they've gone above and beyond to try and do all the... They've done the Virgil van Dijk approach on this, because he should have signed for Man City or he should have signed for Chelsea that summer, because they were more enticing, more money on offer, probably more guaranteed chance of titles on offer, that kind of stuff. But we sold him on the project. What we'll never know is the intangibles, around the Jude Bellingham stuff. I really, really want us to go and get him. But again, it's like, I know this is like it's a bit of a binary decision, but to take £120 million, we don't know what the budget is. Ultimately, because we could say, what if it's a £200 million budget for the summer? But, then that's not, is that enough then to go and fix all the issues in the squad? I don't know. If it's a £300 million, we don't know. We don't know what they're going to do. We know that they need to go and spend fucking mega money to make the squads competitive again. Mm-hmm. Or we need to go back to that mad model that worked really well for us of getting some incredibly shrewd signings and trusting that they will. But there's somewhat laws of diminishing returns. That's a huge one, because for every Andy Robertson, there's a Taki Minamino, or there's a Jadon Shaqiri who can come in and be absolutely fine. We've got fine. We need stars. We need cast iron, good Champions League winning, international caliber and beyond footballers to come into this side, and more than one of them. It's a fucking huge, huge thing. Bellingham, I think, eases the psychological pressure because everyone knows who he is. But my point on it forever will remain is, if they go out in the summer and just buy three lads and they happen to do the business, I don't really give a fuck whether it's Jude Bellingham. I want Jude Bellingham, of course. Who doesn't want Jude Bellingham? But I just can't bring myself to get fucking irate about signing or not signing Jude Bellingham. The irateness will come depending on what
my irateness has not been involved.
Yeah,
that's where my irony comes from.
Yeah, man, it's like, it's based, like, I felt deflated when I heard it this morning because you've got nothing to hang your hat on really so far this season. We're out of everything. The main thing was, hey lads, you know what? We've been crap this season. It feels like we've been a midfielder short for 2-3 seasons. Well, don't worry, because this is the reason why, because we've built up to this.
And we literally saved our money for 2 years to go and bid for Bellingham, and then you go, I quite like the money in my pocket.
I'm also quite...
But it's not even that, is though. It's like going into fucking eBay with your top price that you're going to pay for something, and then some twat comes in and raises the price for a laugh. And then you're left with Ari. You know what I mean?
Enough money either way. I don't care what the price of Jude Bellingham is. Liverpool should have that money. But the other thing is what I'm extremely not convinced of is where you said the three midfielders. I'm not convinced we have a backup plan. There is nothing in the last however many years that has convinced me that Liverpool have a backup. Lost out on Tchouaméni. Oh, don't worry, guys. We clearly needed a midfielder. We clearly wanted one. But we don't have a backup plan really with that.
Well, Bellingham was the backup plan,
but we haven't got him, and we're still studying. the problem is that I'm not too sure we'll have a backup plan because it feels like we've put every egg in every single, like Jude Bellingham basket that there is. I'm worried that you're now running out of time. The price is going to be bumped up because they know now you're not getting Jude Bellingham.
Yeah, that's a concern.
I don't know what plan B is. That's what I'm worried
about.
I
don't think there's a world where Jürgen Klopp manages a Liverpool side that doesn't spend by players that it needs in the summer, though. Is anyone else?
I really hope we do.
I hope so. I'm not. Yeah, exactly. That's my feeling.
You're in a much healthier place than I am. Yeah. Let me tell you. Honestly, it worries me. It really. Because you're right, and you'd like to think that'd be the case. And I know Jürgen Klopp is smart enough to work that way. But at the same time, you look at some of the windows where we have sort of foregone the opportunity to sign Virgil van Dijk. We left him and didn't get anyone else instead. Thankfully, it all worked out okay because we got Virgil van Dijk. He was brilliant. But there was no alternative there. We did it with Tchouaméni. Like you mentioned, we didn't go and get anyone. We didn't go and get Nunes in the end. He went to Wolves. So we just left it. We ended up getting Artemelo on deadline day. There is a sort of a back catalogue of sort of failure when it comes to this sort of thing of us not getting it right after the fact. And we are producing these oversights. And for me, not getting / going for Bellingham would be a huge oversight.
Yeah, if it was a couple of years ago, you know, when like everyone was like, oh my God, how are they just picking players up here and making them world stars? Now it feels like we've just let loads of people run the contracts down. We've got no money back from it. Naby Keita was 60 mil. And yet over however long he's been here, he's probably made that back. It's not a lot in terms of how much we've had to pay him per year. But that was still a player that 2 years ago, and there's reasons why we couldn't sell him, obviously, that we've talked about previously on these shows. There was money there to get back. It feels like if the last 2 years, it's like having a guitar string, and when you've strung it, one string's just gone off and snapped and snapped and snapped.
Like, just like when you got a banjo and your banjo keeps breaking.
Yeah.
On top of all of that as well. Michael Edwards has already gone. And Julian Ward's going.
Yeah.
Like the people we've sort of heralded.
He looks like he's going to Ajax now.
The people we've heralded for making all these smart decisions, just Sadio Mane, Andy Robertson, Jim Mohamed Salah's. They're not going to be in the building for much longer. One of them's gone already. And the next one, the one we kind of all pinned our hopes on to say, oh, you're the success. You've watched how Edwards worked. He's also leaving. Like, listen, I remain confident.
Fine. I'll buy in. Let's go. Let's run down all the things that could possibly go. My concern over the director of football thing, right, is who is it going to be and how much say does Jürgen Klopp have in picking them?
Do you think we having a chat earlier? Well, Tom was having this chat. Do you think that Jürgen Klopp and Pep Linders being the vocal point of our side, do you reckon that's good or do you reckon that's bad?
I think the Pep Linders thing is a load of shit.
Oh, so
to
is
be
he
quite
not?
Honest with you, I just think this. I believe when someone says, "Oh, he's a Linders sign," I'm thinking, I don't believe that at all. You know.
I don't buy into that. Personally.
I don't buy that.
I mean, that
at
wasn't
all.
My question, but thank you. I like the insight there.
But yeah, isn't your question whether Linders and Klopp are going to have say in the transfers?
Do you reckon a group of
that's what
of
you asked, and I answered. I don't think Linders has any say in transfers.
I felt like you answered the question. Honestly,
okay, sorry.
No, I thought it was a nice opportunity to shoot down Pep Linders' conspiracy theorists.
I enjoyed it.
Tacked
on
to Chloe. Your question was about them being too important to the football club in general. And that's
was it, Chloe? Repeat your question.
Transfers?
My question was more about: do you think it should be, you know, a group of people who are proven, like, you know, at every football club, to go and make the signings happen and
like
identify?
Linders is that and Klopp? Because you definitely mentioned both of them, and now you're talking about transfers again. So it kind of does feel, Chloe, like you asked whether Linders was important in the transfer strategy.
I didn't ask if it was important. I asked, do you think it was the right idea?
I don't think he's involved in it. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, but Jürgen, do you not think
Jürgen is, yeah.
Yeah, but do you think those being over the last year or something, they said that they wanted more say in everything. Do you reckon it should be solely up to them? Because it feels like they've taken a higher stand.
This is my question about the director
of
football thing, is that if who's choosing the director of football? Jürgen Klopp's picking the guy to work with him, not almost the other way around. And that's an arse about tit way to do the director of football role. The director of football should be the one who sits above it. It's like, you know, in go back to Billy Beane and stuff like that. Your GM is the guy who sits above the thing, and the manager is the guy who does the coaching and managing of the side and what have you. I'm a little concerned about that, but it is what happens. Managers, the longer they go in football clubs, the more power they amass. And that either leads to spectacular combustion, or that's how you build a dynasty. That's how Alex Ferguson ends up at United for so long. That's how Wenger ends up for so long. And eventually it runs out because it's harder to refresh elements when so many things are so ingrained. Be like starting a company up and giving shares to all of the, major shares to all of the employees. You then can't then move. It's harder to move them on. If Lindus has had his time, is he too integrated into everything that we do to kind of to unplug him and plug a new guy with fresh ideas in under the manager? We don't know that just yet. That appointment's going to be huge, really, really huge. And it is concerning that if Bellingham doesn't get landed, who the fuck's putting the legwork in on all the guys who are going to be the replacements?
It's not getting done now, is it? No. Because there isn't a new director of football. So,
it's not getting done by, it's either getting done by Julian Ward, who hasn't got a skin in the game because he's going to be somewhere else, or it's getting done by someone who's not whose job that isn't normally, which very rarely works out for football clubs when other people are tasked with
the thing
jobs.
With the director of football and the manager thing, there needs to be mutual respect and trust between the two of them. And I think you can only get that on the job. I think for the most part, you need to trust that their signings work and they need to trust that your ideas as a manager will work in the grand scheme of the stats or whatever it is. So it's a difficult relationship to get right. And I think that's why you see loads of clubs struggle with the director of football consistently over the course of the last 15, 20 years. It's not been an easy thing for English clubs to get right, has it? And I think that's down to the ego of the manager and also the ego of the person, the director of football and stuff. So I don't know, to answer your question.
Thank you.
I think Jurgen Klopp has absolutely got enough credit in the bank to be involved in transfer decisions. 100% he should be involved in transfer decisions.
And he always has been.
And he always has been. But he also needs to trust the guys above him. And he needs to take them on board if what you're saying. If we say, this is the guy you need, Jurgen can't say no. You know what I mean? He just can't. But that's an incredibly difficult relationship to get right.
Yep. It is, yeah. It served him well in the past, not saying no to the guy above him, whether it may be, because obviously there was the brand stuff, wasn't there, when we were going for Salah and stuff like that. It turns out that the sporting director has got it right and Klopp's been more than willing to go with that. But I take your point entirely. I think English clubs have struggled with it because it's quite a new sort of phenomenon over here, isn't it? It was a European thing, wasn't it, to begin with?
English clubs had managers.
Yeah.
Well, Ferguson clubs like coaches.
Ferguson
and the coach
and
a manager job is very different.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's why we haven't really sort of taken to it that well. It's taken a while for us to sort of get good at it in this country, I'd say.
And Brendan Rodgers, a good example, hated it.
Hated it, yeah.
Hated it. And that was how you end up with those like attack pieces on Michael Edwards in the Daily Mail about how like the laptop guru is costing him his job and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, this is my thing and all this. There's so many mad facets to the football club that feel totally off kilter at the moment. We could just do with... Yeah, I mean, everything's eased by the football players winning football matches. That would be nice if they did that, because we can at least park it for a little bit. But that's the biggest issue, is that we've got the biggest summer looming probably in the last 10 years in terms of what Liverpool are going to do. And I don't know who's in charge of that. I don't know how much we've got to spend. I don't know whether Liverpool are going to be in the Champions League or the Europa League or European football at all. We don't know what our rivals are going to have to spend and how much they're going to be gunning for similar targets for us, etc., etc., etc. So it is. It's a huge, huge unknown. But in reality, it's kind of like it is like that most summers. About trust that we don't really have at the moment.
I think the big difference, and if Ornstein have, and maybe a frame the article if it was possible this way, is that, look, if Liverpool don't get Champions League football, we won't have the money to get into a bidding war. I can kind of understand that. Mm-hmm. I can rationalise that, because, you know, it can be 100 million difference between European football and a good run in the Champions League, and no European football. That I can get my head around. Mm-hmm. But not getting into a bidding war when everything's still on the table. Like, if we get in the Champions League this season, are we still not in form because we're scared about a bidding war? Mm. That's a major concern.
Yeah, my problem with all this is
revenues, again. Big commercial deals that they like to spout off about all the time.
Ticket prices
increased. Big new stand opening up. Extra 80 million revenue coming in probably next season. Still not in for Bellingham. Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. That's the point. Again, it goes back to it. It's March, and it's a summer transfer.
Yeah. Who knows?
You know exactly. You know that, and that. That's again. boils down to it. Whatever we'll do what we'll do, and we'll either be really good for it, or we'll be average or the same for it, or worse for it. It's what happens with transfer windows, isn't it? But it's another example, by the way, we've all just done it, of it's an international break when Liverpool are in poor form, and an article comes out that causes us all to lose our fucking shit. It's David Ornstein, who is not cast iron saying anything one way or the other on stuff. And
thank God he got it right about the Liverpool are up for sale.
Oh, I know. But this is the thing. It's a fucking not an article. There's literally nothing there. You know what I mean? I mean, there is. There's enough of a talking point that we've just managed to fucking milk an hour and fucking 20 minutes out of it or whatever.
An hour and 20 on it.
Yeah, but fuck me. Like, you know, that article's a long way round of saying nobody's won the bidding for Jude Bellingham yet. Jude Bellingham hasn't chosen his football club yet. The transfer window isn't open for another 3 months, 3.5 months.
It comes back to the trust, though. You've just mentioned the word trust.
That
is with me. Like, I believe this is actually now a possibility. It should never be a possibility that Liverpool could not have enough money to go and bid for Jude Bellingham, especially when we've put the groundwork in for 2 years. But it's got to that point now over the last couple of years where I don't have the trust. I actually believe that could happen. I believe we could take a backseat and say, actually, don't really want to be doing that. And that's a problem. It obviously doesn't help. If I had a distraction of still being in the Champions League or something, I could get away with it because I could forget. But it's the fact that there's been little hints here and there of Liverpool being poor at their business over the last 2 years, and it's just not gave me any confidence.
It feels like one of the biggest oversights from the ownership group in this last year is just not having their finger on the pulse of what their actions mean and what the knock-on effect of them doing stuff is. So allowing that the sale thing to become public and then not being on top of it enough to guide the conversation around it, and then to casually throw out in a fucking unrelated article on another continent about a completely different subject matter that in an email that it's not for sale. You know, as anyone meant to feel more than fucking just wound up by it, because we're being put through the emotional ringer, and people are capitalising on that in a bigger way than ever. Because as I say, it goes back to that point. It's the pot gets stared on a daily basis by all kinds of outside influencers who just want to see us upset. If it was, you know, if Liverpool weren't in this situation and Man United were going through all this, I would be happily poking into all that, and happily looking to make them feel as unhappy and miserable about that thing, because that's just the way it goes. But yeah, it's a big melting pot of fucking shit at the moment that's even greater under the microscope because of the decisions that are being made. Liverpool have been crap on the pitch. They've got some major issues to address on and off the pitch, and there's no football for fucking 17 days. Fuck off.
No football for 17 days has actually made me feel great. I felt the best I have in a while.
I was great up until this article coming out, because this is is what it is now. Yeah. It's now 2 weeks of getting fucking dead upset about millionaire lads may or may not play for Liverpool for fucking hundreds of million
day
pounds.
Day one as well.
Honestly, fucking
Monday morning, straight off the bat. Yeah. No holds barred.
We're not even into the international.
Deal with that.
Are we? Not even got to see a picture of Hendo with Jude Bellingham on his Instagram.
Yeah, to make us feel calm. You know what I mean?
We did. There was a photo that came out last night with Trent and Jude Bellingham. I don't know when Chris Brown's been on tour, but they went to go and see Chris Brown together. If that could have been recently, because he's obviously back because
Trent
of the international break. Trent
signing for Real Madrid.
Yeah, that's the other alternative. If you look closely, David Ornstein's just behind him.
Vibing away to Transformer. Super chats we've got in. Elite Six says, Jude can gain icon status for us. We can build around him. In my opinion, we're the best footballing option for him. I'm just sad now. Darwin is still sexy, though. As always, we love them comments. Lee W. Kehoe, to be fair, how often do we get told Liverpool won't go into a bidding war? Said the same with Nunes. There is a bit of that. And again, this is the thing of, it's not about fucking right or wrong. I know people have got really strong opinions on all these things. It's just a laissez-faire thing. It'll be what it'll be. Me getting angry doesn't make it any different whether they do it or not. Be nice if they fucking did, though.
Very nice.
To be fair, though, at least we, you know, the agony rant section continued quite a while, and it went well.
It's a good job we've got
that insert, isn't it?
Yeah, SK with the Super Chasers United fan. Interesting to hear these convos from your side. You know how much you can spend. It's 70% of your earnings plus sales amortised over 5 years. Any spend less than this is your board. Okay.
Some investment would help, wouldn't it? You know, that sounds like the most simple thing in the world. Like, I don't mean for FSG, sorry. I mean from outside parties into FSG. That's clearly what they're after on the wholesale.
Into Liverpool,
yeah. That change thing, because it feels like one of them. You mentioned they're knocking into a bidding war. It feels like one of them where this article comes out today, then in a month's time, if we do get some investment, we go, oh, yeah, the situation changed because of investment. It feels like that is a possibility, and that then re-enters us. It's an easy way of getting us back into that race war.
Could someone invest in Liverpool and get a lot of money back from this? Like, how much? Like, it doesn't seem like they both.
No, but I think this is where there's a misunderstanding about what investment means. Okay. If you're an individual and you would invest in a business, people watch Dragon's Den and think they understand how business works at every level. So they go, all I'm going to invest is I'm going to get 20% of your company, and that means I'm going to get paid dividends every year. Whereas when you're like hedge fund venture capitalist, it's about growing the value of your portfolio. So to that point, FSG haven't made a profit on Liverpool, but it's grown the value of Fenway Sports Group by 2.7 billion or more. That's just like, it's imaginary money, isn't it? But all of made big businesses conducted with imaginary money. It's all money that exists in the ether. So you would buy in, you might buy a 50% share of Liverpool or a 40% share of Liverpool. And if Liverpool's value doubles over the next 5 years, then the value of your share doubles, and then that increases the value of your total portfolio in the imaginary sense. That's why you invest at that level, not because you want some extra readies to go in your bank account.
I've been reading stuff apparently. Does Liverpool and not books just on football? It's absolutely crap.
Someone wrote on a football that you read.
Yeah.
Did they say Mitre?
It was signed by you. Now, do Liverpool have, like, I feel like they must have capped out. I don't know business. I don't get this. How much more profit can FSG make from this? Because it seems like we're at a mad number.
You know, I think Liverpool, the Premier League clubs, when they get their head around the television rights, and they probably sell their own rights, or even if they just are able to package those stats.
So does that mean I'm going to be spending another 15 quid on another
thing?
What
it means is the value of a football club right now is probably the best in the world. Maybe Manchester United, something like that, could go for 5-6. You might be talking 10 billion by the time the television stuff gets sorted. And then there'll be something else. There'll be some kind of meta or VR type shit that will blow that through the water and all that type of stuff. Because they were talking, weren't they, about selling tickets? I can't remember what sport it was. It might have been the NBA, where they sell VR tickets to floor sides for NBA games and stuff like that.
It's ludicrous.
And there could be that in, you know, Premier League in the Cop. They could be selling VR tickets in the Cop down the line and stuff like that. And then however many million people could all pay 100 quid for a game. Mm. And they're all just essentially just selling one seat.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? There's all kinds of stuff that they're still going to do to grow money. Exactly. But the problem is, if you want a quick buck in footy, that's really difficult. And that's what, like, you don't buy a Premier League club because you want to make money on a yearly basis.
Football clubs don't make profits. Yeah, football clubs don't make
money. But if you're in for 10, 15 years, like FSG, you are going to make 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 billion.
And that's where it comes back to it. And again, it's hoping. It's not because, again, most people might think the other way is I've got no affinity for the current ownership group, is that my understanding and where my faith in it comes from is that it comes back to the value of the portfolio. And if Liverpool aren't competing at the top level anymore, then the value of the football club will shrink, and that will damage them, and it will damage their overall operation. So
it's in their best interest to keep spending on Liverpool, 100%. To keep growing the assets.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's why, again, we don't. Some of us would see that as Jude Bellingham, but it goes back to this season. I think last summer I'd have been looking at it too and going, maybe just one or two really quality additions, and we'll keep them. We'll just be able to keep going over. Whereas on the back of what I've seen this season, and with certain players either not kicking on or not agreeing contract extensions, or the legs falling off, Fabinho being an example, I wouldn't have looked at Fabinho as someone who needed replacing anytime soon. Now I'm thinking, if someone comes in with a half decent bid for the summer, you get rid, because he's not going to, I wouldn't be trusting him to come back to that level. And maybe that's ultimately part and parcel of it, as you look at it now and go, we probably, the reality of where Liverpool are at, they can't maybe trust that a good summer off will fix all of these problems. Mm, yeah. They might have to go, And again, we come back to it. It's like Jürgen Klopp's not involved in these conversations. He is. And because there's no one else. He has to be in these conversations because everyone else has fucking gone off. Is that what we'll never know is he might be, someone's probably presenting him an option going, here's exactly how much money we've got to spend. What would you rather, mate? Do you think this is enough for us to do it, or do you want this instead?
Our fast midfielder or Cody Gakpo could change the front line for next season.
Yeah. You've got 300 million to spend. How do you want to spend it? What's the best way for you to go and spend
one that? Jude Bellingham, please.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd like that.
Yeah.
And a Mason Mount on top of it, if I'm really stretching the boat.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I can't see how it's not going to be a significant number of transfer moves this summer. But I don't know what they look like, and no one fucking does, do they?
I was excited for the summer transfer window up until about 8 a.m.
But you will be, because this is what we get. Again, it's the problem with making everything in life a one issue fucking deal. Is that if it can only ever go one of two ways, and if it doesn't go your way, you're fucking dead upset. It's like going to fucking Vegas and fucking putting all your life on fucking red, and it comes up black and getting cross because like it was just as likely to go fucking one or the other. You've put yourself at the fucking the lap of the gods.
Bellingham or bust, isn't it?
Exactly, people, exactly, yeah. I'm not an understanding of that. I just don't share that level of aggression around.
Yeah, what is the difference? Yeah.
Just quickly looking at where we're at then, as we've headed into the international break. Liverpool currently sixth in the Premier League. We are 5 points behind Newcastle, who've played the same amount of games. We are 7 points behind Tottenham, who are in fourth, but we have two games in hand over them.
Brighton
have got a game in hand on us, 11 points behind, and we've got a game in hand over Brentford, who are underneath them, but again, level on points with us. I think what the encouraging note from all of this, Dan, is it's another weekend of football where we've seen that not everyone who we're in the fight with wins. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone's got their own issues. Everyone's got a variety of things. Every single one of these teams is struggling for consistency in one way, shape or form. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about Tottenham Hotspur in a big way on the Barca Football Podcast because Conte's fucking hilarious. But that's, nothing's changed. We're just slightly higher up the table. We still need to win lots of more football games, mm-hmm. and hope other people lose football games.
Yeah, it's definitely a positive to take from the weekend, isn't it? Like, especially the Spurs result. Newcastle showing a little bit of resilience, a little bit of fight, and getting a little bit of luck at the end with that penalty to win it is really frustrating, obviously, because I felt like they were going to drift away. I've said
it
a few times.
Luck?
No, not in terms of getting the penalty. So I meant the actual winning the game late on or something like that. That's what I meant. Yeah. But yeah, I felt like Newcastle were going to drift away, but maybe not. But yeah, I think you're right. I think in terms of it just shows you that they're not anywhere near perfect or consistent enough to just run away with it. No one's going to run away with fourth place, it looks like, which actually makes it all the more frustrating that if we were just better this season, we'd have it sewn up by now ourselves and we could relax a little bit more. Like, when it all boils down to it, if we do end up missing out, we're not going to be able to blame anybody else because Tottenham are crap, Newcastle are also a little bit crap. We're only going to be able to blame ourselves for the Forest result, the Fulham result much earlier on the season, Wolves coming to Bournemouth the other weekend. Like, we'll have nobody else to blame but ourselves. Sometimes you miss out on stuff in life, and we miss out in the league to City all the time. City just boss, just one of them things. Real Madrid, they're better on the night. Courtois was unbelievable. This time around, if we miss out on fourth, it's down to us.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. What it is. Carl G, 1987, said the running of our club has been self-sabotage with the super chat there. And we've got a great one from Nigel Jones, who's also a YouTube member. Says it's basically a war. There's United, City, Chelsea and Newcastle with all the brand new weapons, and there's us with the muskets from Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels.
Yeah. Did anyone else just think of James Milner straight away then?
Guns for show. Nice for a pro. We've got bows and arrows, says another one. Mohammed Kasim here says, Ornstein piece is an opinion piece, guys. Don't stress too much. Maybe we've just led with that.
Was that 2 hours ago?
I saw Sam Walker say this on Twitter, but I'm sure he does say sources at some point.
I don't think he does opinion pieces either, to be honest with you. I think if he does, he states very clearly the opinion pieces. This isn't an opinion piece, in my opinion. Well, that's weird.
but at least I stated it.
Yeah, come on, Dave. But yeah, not for me. I don't buy into that. That's just a general article that he wrote. It's not an opinion whatsoever.
Yeah. Okie dokie, right, we're going to make ourselves feel better by laughing at the situation at Chelsea Football Club, who dropped more points at the weekend. We'll have a little chat about Dieb as well. We're going to talk about Conte doing everything in his power to get sacked as Tottenham Hotspur manager.
Decent.
We're going to talk about the FA Cup quarters and, of course, the semi-finals as well. That is all on the Biased Football Podcast, which follows live on RedmanPlus.com shortly after this. Once again, if you use the code BIASED, which is spelled, Chris?
B-I-S-E-D.
Yeah, you can get 50%. You can get a £2 a month for 3 months, a subscription from a club captain level, which is a monthly subscription, is a significant discount. And it means that effectively that show on its own is like 50p.
Cheaper than a shit coffee from a shit branded coffee house.
That dango is too nearly every single day.
Yeah, I'm not getting involved in this conversation. I'm just taking a back
seat. How much is your coffee from there?
Usually £3.5p.
Please some point down.
Yeah.
You could get ours. I like both. Buy some shit coffee from the supermarket and put some hot water in it and be just as...
Can I like Redman Plus and Costa?
Yeah, this is the thing. We're going to stop making things one issue, one binary issue. You can have a coffee from whenever you want and still subscribe to Redman Plus. It's fine. Don't feel like... Don't feel like we're trying to bury Costa Coffee in any way, shape or form. You can like Costa Coffee and watch and
Nero's
listen to
it.
Dude, like, the problem with Nero is they're only in like city centres.
Yeah.
They're not everywhere. Costa's everywhere.
The problem with that is you're not in the city centre.
That is, yes.
The tea is better than Starbucks.
You go Costa to get a tea.
No, like, other people go to Costa and then what are you going to do? You're going to sit and have an orange juice in Costa Coffee? Like,
you could do. The orange juice is elite.
You've definitely done that on a trip to like Brentford.
Tea in a coffee shop seems lunacy to me. I must admit, it seems mad.
Where'd you go? There's not many leaf rooms around.
I wouldn't go to Ungwen here for tea. I'll tea at home. I'll tea at your house. Tea's a house drink. Don't drink tea out or the office, obviously. You don't drink tea out.
I don't get the coffee thing myself.
At all.
No. We go on a night out and I get coffee.
Worse. I'd rather go to Costa with him and sit up with him. Fucking tea, to be honest.
Right, sounds for this and other stupid opinions. Join us on the Biased Football Podcast over on RedmanPlus.com. Thank you so much for everyone who's commented. Of course, drop a like on this if you're listening on podcast and have to leave a 5-star review. That helps. And other than that, have an absolutely amazing few days. Thursday night pint. Thursday night, we've got Kiefer O'Neill and we've got Dave Critchley.
Correct,
yeah. Well, celebrity chef in for that one. So 7 p.m. on Thursday. Hope to see you over there.
Thanks for listening. If you want even more Bosch content and podcasts just like this, go over to redmenplus.com and sign up now.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.